Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So I can be a Chinese woman.
Sure.
But I can't be a 6'5" Chinese woman.
Yes.
Daddy is a her?
Suppose you agree that he can't actually have babies, but that he can have the right to have babies.
God created male and female in his own image. He is not a god of confusion. All of what we're seeing in our society today is simply hatred for God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's go on a fast. Forever. This is Wretched Radio. No, I'm not talking about following the pericopes of the Protestants or the Roman Catholic Church during the Lenten season when fasting is encouraged. No, siree, Bob. But perhaps I hold in my never-before nicotine-stained fingers a very good reason for us to fast forever from internet gossip. That's right. It is the vehicle that can be used for much good, but it can also be used for much sinning. We love gossip, and the Bible identifies it as one of the nastiest sins. You want to trash a church? Gossip. You want to ruin your relationship? Gossip. You want to destroy your family? Gossip. Talebearing is so destructive that actually Paul warns about 2 strikes for the factious man, and you are out of here. Why? Because it is so corrupting. It is so bad, and the internet is so full of it. And maybe, just maybe, we have a story before us that will encourage us to maybe rethink what it is that we're consuming, what it is that we're commenting on when it comes to evangelical, we'll call them stories. Please note, there are times when it is appropriate to talk about different evangelical events publicly. We have codified those rules about actually 10 years ago. I think 10 years ago, we actually wrote down our rules of discernment that we try to adhere to. Now, it doesn't mean that any public talk about somebody's behavior is unwarranted. Jesus did that. Jesus talked about the Pharisees, sometimes in their presence, right to their face, other times when they weren't there. Warning, look out for that leaven, their blind guides. Be careful. So we know that we can do that, but these days we have so many opportunities to do that. And maybe, just maybe, courtesy of Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, it's time to reassess and think about our own participation in social media commenting and what can only be described as Christian gossip. We love it, don't we? Oh, our ears just, they tickle. Oh, we love the gossip. That's why Entertainment Tonight is going on, what, 40 years? Inside Edition, I think it's still running. Whatever these different talk, where we sit around and we talk about celebrity gossip. Aren't we better than that? Shouldn't we have some sort of discretion, a funnel that we use, some sort of filter that keeps us from talking about everything? For instance, if you go to Christian social media right now, no question about it, you're going to see a story about a high-profile prosperity preacher who, I believe, the state of Oklahoma is bringing him up on 5 charges of sexual escapades with children. Okay. Forget that guy just for a second. Sexual escapades with children, abominable, horrid. Let's return to the dude accused of doing that. He's accused. Has he done it? I don't know. I don't know until it's adjudicated. I don't know until a trial happens. I'm not the evangelical Supreme Court. I do not get to know the inside scoop on these things. And so I simply have to wait. Is there something inside of me that says, yep, see that? There you go. Prosperity preacher. There he is. Yep, you can count on that. Yeah, there's something inside of all of us that feel that. And yet, a rule of discernment would tell me, I can't. I can't. As abhorrent as that activity is, and believe me, if he's found guilty of it, we may or may not talk about it if we believe that we can have something edifying to add to the conversation. But I would be totally on board denouncing that. Of course we would. But until it's determined definitively, I fear that I would be engaged in gossip as much as I might like to talk about it. I can't. as wicked as this guy might be, he's got a family too. He's got a wife and kids. And they, if he did something really bad, however many years ago, they didn't do it. So we see these stories and there's something inside of us that says, let's get them, boys. And I would like to suggest to you, courtesy of Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, it's time for us to rethink it. After 5 months of silence, he has finally posted on the X machine an apology. I'm going to read it for the most part without comment. Why? Because I'm going to take it at face value. There's an opportunity to pick apart anything, isn't there? I could go back and pick apart the Gettysburg Address. Hey, why didn't he mention shackles? Well, of course, you could critique it, but if you look at it on its face value, it's like magnificent speech. Listen to this apology, and I think we just take it at face value without nitpicking it to pieces. Which, by the way, that is something we need to guard against, and it's on the top of my mind because, well, I'm preaching about it this Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church. That is a mark of a Pharisee. We're nitpickers. Dill, mint, cumin. The little tiny stuff, making sure that we're doing a little tiny and we're kind of missing the big stuff. But a mark of a Pharisee is one who just hoofta gets into the minutia of things, not for the sake of edification or correction, but for the sake of demolition and for standing above it. We need to guard against that. Here's the letter from Dr. Stephen Lawson. It is with a shattered heart that I write this letter. I've sinned grievously against the Lord, my wife, my family, and against countless numbers of you by having a sinful relationship with a woman, not my wife. I am deeply broken that I have betrayed and deceived my wife, devastated my children, and brought shame to the name of Christ, reproach upon his church, and harm to many ministries. You may wonder why I've been silent and largely invisible since the news of my sin became known. I've needed the time to search my own soul to determine that my repentance is real. Well, that seems really wise, doesn't it? And if maybe you were like, we got to hear from him now. Well, there was stuff going on. And he, as you're going to hear, was doing things. I've needed the time to search my soul to determine that my repentance is real. I alone am responsible for my sin. I have confessed my sin to the Lord, my wife, and my family, and repented of it. I have spent the past months searching my heart to discover the roots of my sin and mortifying them by the grace of God. I hate my sin, weep over my sin, and have turned from it. My sin carries enormous consequences, and I will be living with those for the rest of my life. Yep, he will. Over the years, many have looked to me for spiritual guidance, and I have failed you. I beg for your forgiveness. I've been undergoing extensive counseling for the last 5 months to face the hard questions I need to address. I have dealt with sin issues that have been painfully exposed in my heart. I have submitted myself in weekly accountability to two pastors, to the elders of a local congregation who have shepherded my soul. I am also under the oversight of an accountability team who monitor my progress and give me wise counsel in the decisions I have to make. I am growing in grace, reading and absorbing the Word of God, putting it into practice, praying and meeting with other believers. I am involved in the life of the church, attending and participating in prayer meetings, Sunday school, the worship service, and taking communion weekly. I am being fed the Word in the mid-weekly Bible study. Please pray for my spiritual growth into Christ's likeness as I follow Him moment by moment during this recovery season. I'm grateful for the unmerited grace of God in the gospel to extend His full forgiveness to me. And again, I ask for your forgiveness as well. While I continue to do the hard work of soul-searching repentance, I do not intend to make further public comments for the foreseeable future. And we don't need them, do we? Please pray for the Lord's mercy and grace as I seek to make right the deeply wrong sins I have committed against my wife and family, and that in His time, and in His way, He will bring about redemption and restoration in our marriage for His glory. Stephen Lawson, 3:56 p.m., March 12, 2025. Jimmy?
Yes?
Because I don't know how to do this. You went out to just wherever in the social media sphere to look for people's comments on the letter.
Correct.
And give them a grade. How have the comments been in response to this apology?
So I think I would say 85% are positive.
That's good.
I think so.
That's good.
I think we should be hopeful here. As Christians, we should be hopeful. you know, you're going to have the ones that are that question the validity of the repentance. I think I'd be careful with that.
Well, sure, because I don't know his heart.
That's right.
I have to trust. That is a word, by the way. When somebody apologizes to you, you accept it.
Yep.
Because you don't know their heart. You just don't know. And even if their heart is rotten, it doesn't matter. You still are called to accept it.
Jesus says, if they return to you seven times and repent, forgive them all seven.
70 times
yep.
seven.
Something like that.
Hold on a second. That's a lot of times.
Yeah,
I did the math on that. But all right.
I think the one comment that sums everything up for me is from Samuel Say.
Oh.
The world will only remember a fallen pastor's sin, but heaven will only remember his repentance.
Shouldn't we be rejoicing?
Mm-hmm.
And really, shouldn't we be praying just for, we would for any brother or sister that a family would be restored? Then that home was shattered. And we can't be using it for the sake of self-satisfying, ear-tickling, gossipy tale-bearing. We should be rejoicing when a sinner repents. Perhaps it's time for a fast. This is Wretched Radio.
Someone you love is grieving. You want to help, but what do you say? This Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, it's a Fortis Institute webinar with Fortis Institute fellow Tim Challies. Because mourning those who mourn isn't just about showing up. It's about knowing how to bring real biblical comfort in the hardest moments. When do you speak? When do you stay silent? How do you pray with someone in deep sorrow? How do you remind them of God's goodness without sounding dismissive? Grief is not a problem to fix. It's a burden to bear. Jesus wept, Paul encouraged, and the church carries one another. Are you prepared? If not, join us this Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time for a free Fortis Institute webinar, Comforting Those Who Mourn. You can register now at fortisinstitute.org/webinar. That's fortisinstitute.org/webinar. Because at some point, someone in your life will need you.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Thanks to faithful supporters just like you, our new Fortis Institute podcasts aren't just reaching people, they're making waves. Every single one of our new shows ranks at least in the top 10% of all podcasts worldwide, some climbing even higher than that. From Integrated with Dr. John Krotz to Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, these programs are doing exactly what they were intended to do. They're touching lives and they're transforming hearts. But here's the thing, we can't continue this vital work without your help. As we face this brave new world together, I want to ask if you would consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Only if you're already faithfully giving to your local church, though, and not strapped by any type of unmanaged debt. If those areas in your life are in order, would you consider joining us? Because your support will help us produce even more life-changing content. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now. That's FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. A Good Shepherd protects, directs, provides, and cares for his sheep. Jesus laid down his life for his sheep. No one can snatch them out of his hand.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
See you tonight. This is Wretched Radio, a free Fortis Institute webinar led by Jason Allen, the director of our Fortis Fellows program here at the Institute, and featuring Fortis Fellow Tim Challies and a couple of his buddies to talk about grief. Deep, profound, life-altering grief. You're not going to escape it. Perhaps you haven't already. And you would like to hear some godly biblical wisdom about how to cope, how to grow, even as your heart is broken, how to see the Lord reassemble the pieces, how to understand what God is doing with very, very hard things, and to learn how to comfort those who are going through something similar. You know somebody, Mrs. Friel and I were talking about this last night, the number of people that we know that are just there. And by the way, we're not alone, by the way. Have we ever had dinner? I could share with you the struggles in our lives. Nobody is beyond, nobody. Whether it's a health thing, something as moderate as this, that just won't go away. When is this going to go away, Jimmy?
I don't know.
I'm done feeling sick. I feel fine. When is this upper respiratory thing going to end? That's modest compared to some people. Some people are living with things that are so hard. And isn't that interesting to consider too, and maybe helpful in putting the best construction on something? There's somebody at your church who's particularly dour. No, they're downright crabby. And maybe you've even talked about them, or you avoid them in the hallway because, whew, who wants to be around that black cloud? Maybe there's something going on. Maybe there's a health issue. Health issues, oof. It's funny how the Lord has just given me a little glimpse into, no, I didn't get a word, a little glimpse into what it is like to have a medical issue. I don't know if you recall this, probably not, because it's quite insignificant. I think a couple of years ago, I was at the gym. You probably noticed I spend some time there, walking around, looking at my phone mostly. But I was at the gym, I lay down on the bench, and my world went Willy Wonka, man. I was swirling. I was like, I think they swirled in Willy Wonka, just it was vertigo for like a second. It's nasty. I had no idea. It's nasty. It's like, hello. I can't even, I'm like holding on. So I sit up and I'm like holding onto the bench like I'm riding a surfboard. That was this just teeny tiny amount. Do I have a new appreciation for people who have vertigo? I do. This lower back thing. Boy, that was a season that I've gone through, and it's still a little twingy. But it dawned on me. I had to stop and ask myself the question: is it making me crabby in any way, shape, or form? Is it altering my personality? Because ongoing pain can do just that, can it? It just, you don't even know it. You don't feel what the pain is doing to you. You feel the pain, but you don't know that it's just that the constant nagging, throbbing, aching, whatever it is. It just kind of drains the life out of you. Maybe that's why that person at church is crabby. And I got nothing to complain about. Like one time spinning on a bench, a lower back thing that's almost got itself worked out, courtesy of a chiropractor. I got nothing. Some people are so deep into struggles. And maybe, just maybe, remembering that allows us to have a little grace with those people. Perhaps Krabby Pants has suffered a loss. Here's one we do not talk about enough. This is, in fact, the free webinar that we're doing tonight. Just go to the YouTube machine. You'll find it. Go to fortisplus.org. You'll find it there. You can stream it there at fortisplus.org. It's all free. Doesn't matter what platform you use. Even that, it's all parents who've lost kids. But I've received emails from people saying, it would be nice if on occasion we heard about seniors who have lost their spouses after 40, 50, 60 years. And that is absolutely right. that. I'm telling you, I remember it wasn't that long ago. Do you remember the story of the couple who died in the storm in Virginia? The tree fell on their house and they were in bed holding hands and they died together. Yeah, I'll take one of those, please. Because, okay, now maybe this is wrong. Maybe this is wrong. Mrs. Friel will go run an errand and I'll text her like 5 minutes after she leaves.
What are you doing? Where are you at now? What's going on?
I remember just a couple of weeks ago how out of sorts you were when she took a day off.
I know it. And she is today too.
No.
And I'm feeling a little wiggy if you don't mind me saying so. Losing a spouse after so many years. And by the way, if I could, as an excursus, if you're a young person, I wish that there was some sort of a pill, because we like pills, don't we? Some sort of a pill to give to you to help you understand and feel profound things that can only be described. Jimmy, how many years have you been married now? It's over 5, right?
Yeah, over 20.
Over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
All right. When you celebrated your 20th anniversary,
mm-hmm.
and just maybe spent some time with Mrs. Hicks, just thinking about stuff, did you get any feelings from that?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Can you describe those feelings?
No.
No, you really can't.
Mm-mm.
But it's not vain or pride-filled. It's just like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Here's the one that sticks out in my mind. I'm sorry to be too autobiographical. Try to avoid that as a rule. Nevertheless, I remember when Mrs. Friel and I were engaged.
You know, the dreamy stage. Oh, we're going to grow old together. And oh, it's going to be so romantic the entire time.
Well, we have. And it is more profound than I could have possibly imagined at that time. Am I nuts about the aches and the pain? No. But wow. Doing life with another human being. And praise God, one in my life who's so godly. There's nothing that can recreate that. Those are bigger sensations, feelings, and things that will form and shape you than a video game, than going out with your buddies, spending a lot of time in athletics, and drinking for sure, doing drugs, whatever, sex, whatever. None of those. They're just nothing. These are the big things. Search for them, seek them, and grow toward them. You'll be glad you did. There are bigger things in life that simply cannot have a price tag affixed to it because they're priceless. Tim Challies will be speaking about deep and profound grief tonight, free webinar. And as long as we're talking about Fortis Fellows, how's about Greg Gifford?
The book is finally here, Lies My Therapist Told Me. You can find it at fortisinstitute.org/lies. And the lies that our therapists have told us, they're expansive. There are many, and I'm attempting to expose them in this book. One of the lies is that addictions, think of drug abuse, substance abuse, sexual sins, addictions are diseases. The lie of addiction as a disease is something that's permeated our culture. We almost just assume that you have a body issue when you're struggling with substances or you're struggling with alcohol. We just assume like there's something off about your body. Or you look at someone entrenched in sin. Think of a homeless person in the downtown streets of LA and they're zonked out on some type of drug or they're somewhat out of their mind, to use that biblical idiom. And we just think like, I don't know what it is, but they have a brain disease. That's a lie that the secular therapeutic has perpetuated. The addiction as disease model doesn't have causative support, meaning we cannot prove it started in your brain. If we could, then we would do brain scans as a child and say, hey, look, you're going to be tempted toward addiction. We can't do that. We don't understand the plasticity of the brain. I'm not a neuroscientist, and I'm not trying to be one. I'd rather spend my time in the Bible. But even a neuroscientist will say, yeah, the brain changes, and it heals, and it grows. Where does the Bible say your thoughts begin? Let's cut this straight. Where does the Bible say your thoughts begin? In your heart or in your mind, your immaterial mind? Where did you choose, first of all, where did you choose to go to a drug dealer, or how did you do that? From your inner person. Your brain does not make you call your drug dealer.
That is the line du jour. It's also the line of the day. Your brain doesn't make you call. It doesn't make you put a bong to your mouth, which is how I think the bongs work. It doesn't make you put a needle in your arm or go to the liquor store and buy a 12-pack for the night. Instead, it proceeds from the heart. Dr. Greg Gifford's new book, Lies My Therapist Told Me, Setting the Record Straight Biblically. You can get your advanced copy now, and I encourage you to do it now. Please, if you would, if you're going to get it, would you consider getting it now? Lies My Therapist Told Me, fortisinstitute.org/lies. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Missouri's Attorney General is taking decisive action against Planned Parenthood for violating state health and safety laws. The AG issued a cease and desist order after discovering the abortion giant has been conducting chemical abortions without required complication plans. The order said, quote, Planned Parenthood has demonstrated a disturbing pattern of performing abortions without necessary safety protocols, failing to report complications, and willfully violating state law. Look, I understand you have to work within the confines of the law, but I'm not sure that I go as far as saying Planned Parenthood has demonstrated a disturbing pattern of performing abortions without necessary safety protocols. I would just stop with Planned Parenthood has demonstrated a disturbing pattern of performing abortions. Point blank and period. End of story. In Wisconsin, the Argyle School District learned an expensive lesson about religious liberty, agreeing to pay $20,000 to a Christian teacher who was fired for refusing to use transgender pronouns. The school initially promised the teacher a religious accommodation, but later revoked it and terminated him for standing firm on his faith. Meanwhile, a Harvard professor thinks such religious conviction should disqualify educators entirely. Timothy McCarthy, Harvard's first openly gay faculty member, declared that there is, quote, a particular place in hell for academics who oppose gender ideology, arguing they should be fired and stripped of their titles. And Professor McCarthy's demand comes as Wisconsin debates legislation to keep men out of women's sports, one activist even suggesting the solution is to simply put up some shower curtains. Yeah, that's what it's going to take. And speaking of that fundamental unfairness, it was on full display in Congress when Representative Keith Self referred to transgender-identifying Representative McBride as Mr., causing Democrats to erupt in outrage. Self, who's a retired Green Beret, explained his stance, saying, I spent 25 years on active duty defending his right to live his life as he chooses, but I don't have to participate in his fantasy. Amen to that. And Disney's back in the news as they scale back the premiere of its controversial Snow White remake after star Rachel Zegler's comments criticizing the original story and declaring her version isn't going to be dreaming about true love, but about becoming a leader. And in India, declining birth rates have prompted lawmakers to offer unusual incentives for having children, including cash payments or even free cows for women who have a third child. One political leader also promised maternity leave irrespective of the number of children women have, encouraging them to have as many children as possible. Then that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Mexican. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like sufficiency. The Bible tells us everything we need to know about God. Salvation, doctrine, and life. We do not need any additional revelation to know who God is and what He requires of us.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yes?
Want me to talk about myself some more?
Absolutely.
I think I know the answer to that question. This is Wretched Radio. Don't mind sharing stuff here, but not there. You say, where's here? In a radio studio. Where's there?
the pulpit. Gotta tell you, I am reticent. I am simply reticent to share personal anecdotes in the pulpit. Not because I don't think I'm fabulously interesting, but because it's better to hear about Jesus. And if we're going to use illustrations, if we are going to use stories to help illuminate and color, which I have a confession to make, as a rule, I think that there can be exceptions, but so many of the illustrations that get used, it's like, oh, please, could you just stick with the text? And then, you know, the story about your grandchild or the story about your trip to Walmart. So from the pulpit, I'm sorry. For me, it's crossing a line to talk about my favorite subject, which is myself. So let's talk about somebody else, shall we? I do believe it was, maybe it was this week. Who am I? Why am I here? We talked about John Mark Comer. Very, very popular. He writes about practicing the way. And right away, a red flag should go up. Anytime somebody says, this is how to do it, your Christian life should look like this, I am immediately hyper-skeptical. In fact, last night, working through the edits of my book, which is intended to address this subject of how do you, as a Christian, live holistically? How do you incorporate your faith in everything? And I think the punchline is you don't, you can't. You just need to recognize everything already is about Jesus already. And so we watch out for formulas and how to do this and how to do that. And James, my editor, man, he tagged me on a couple of times when I did that. He's like, hey, don't you think that that's giving somebody a formula to do? And it's like, oh, good point, dude, because formulas are so not helpful. Now, I think that we can give some recommendations. Hey, here's a way that you could possibly find yourself being more disciplined when it comes to Bible reading. To that, I say, cool. Bible reading in a year plan, read it 20 minutes in the morning, whatever you think it is that you think is helpful. But the second we start moving it past that, this is what you need to be doing. You've got to start your day doing this. You've got to do this at lunch. You've got to do this on your drive home, etc. Look out. You've got to live here. You've got to dress like that. You've got to do this with your money. You've got to share your faith this many times. You've got to be involved in this particular ministry. Look out. You're getting into, potentially a land that is getting close to making a law where there is no law. It's definitely somebody making their thing your thing, but it is also robbing Christianity of the variety that God loves. How do I know? Every tribe, every tongue, every nation gathered around his throne. Please note, he doesn't make everybody white or black or brown when they go to heaven. All the different colors, they're there because he likes it. The different tongues, they're all there. You're still going to be a male or a female, still there because he likes that variety. And these systems like the way, I think strip Christianity of its vibrancy, of its body work, where we all work in harmony doing the things that the Lord has equipped us to do. And it makes Christianity just kind of a system. We talked about that with John Mark Comer. But now I would like to share with you, courtesy of Wyatt Graham. He is a professor at Southern Sem. At least he got his doctorate there, if I recall. He listened to a sermon by John Mark Comer. And you say, why are we talking about this guy? Because he's really popular right now. He's the flavor of the day. He's the prayer of Jabez. He's the WWJD of our time. He's crazy love. He's radical Christianity. He's you name the trend, and he's the current. And his theology is lacking. Here's the review from Wyatt Graham. I share this because I would encourage you to do better, to find a Bible study from a theologian that has a higher view of God's sovereignty. In this sermon, writes Wyatt Graham, I was intrigued since Comer sets himself up against John Piper, John Calvin, Augustine, and pretty much anybody else who has a high view of sovereignty.
That's gutsy. Instead, he cites Greg Boyd, David Bentley Hart, and N.T. Wright to argue for his side. I got to tell you, that should be enough, in my estimation, for a pastor to say, we're going to have to pass on the way in our Sunday school. That's really all you need to know. From the review, I heard Comer rejecting the doctrine of God's meticulous providence, the idea that God controls all things. Instead, he argues that competing wills on earth clash with God's will in heaven. We're free agents. And Satan himself buys against God's will. So here's the dualism. Satan versus God. No, the devil is God's devil. Totally under control. And more than that, from the review, the reality of chaos or accidents loom large. So Comer reasons God cannot be the cause of evil since evil humans, spiritual powers, or natural evil cause evil. Would encourage you, you can go back. If you go to Fortis Plus, I think you can use the search engine. And I don't know why I said it like Fortis Plus. But you can find the treatment that we did on the issue of causality. How it is that God ordains all things, including evil things, but he's not responsible for them. Because he uses secondary, tertiary causes. So his hands are clean while he sovereignly controls everything. Back to the review. Many churches are using his Practicing the Way church curriculum, and they need to know it is from a theologian whose view of God's running of the universe, because the premise of John Mark Comer, which is right, how you think about God will shape you. That's right. If you think that God's your daddy, just wants to bless your socks off, you're going to be shaped differently than if you have a high view of God, who is the sovereign, holy, righteous God, who is warm and loving and familial. And all those things shape you. John Mark Comer's theology is a God that I don't think the Bible presents. Near the beginning of his sermon, Comer plays a long clip of John Piper, who in the clip says that God wills people to die. Well, he does. Our days are in his hand. How much clearer could this be? How are you sustaining your life today? Is there a switch you can flip and say, you know what? I think I'm going to stop living now. No, you don't have the ability to do that. That's God's job. Nevertheless, he even calls Piper's view dangerous, taking offense at language of God being in control and sovereign over all things. He explains, when evil happens, how can we say that God's will is still good? Causality. The reality of disease and relationship breakdowns make God's meticulous providence hard to believe. I got to tell you, not believing in God's providence terrifies me. What do you mean he's not in control of everything? What do you mean he doesn't know all things? Our commander-in-chief is learning from us? John Mark Comer claims many things happen that God does not will. Okay, that's a problem. Needless to say, quote, God does not always get his way because of human free will. Oh, yes, the dreaded free will argument. I totally reject the salvo offered by those who insist that we have free will. I don't want my will to be free. That's the argument, isn't it? Oh, well, you got to have free will, otherwise we're not human. I don't want my will to be free. I want my will totally under God's control because I know I'll be happier. He said, well, that's not authentic. I don't care. Whatever. You don't know that. I don't care. It is better. It is always better to do what God says. Always, always, always. Here's Comer's reasoning. Death is evil. God does not will evil, therefore God does not will the death of anyone. Sin, death, and evil are caused by free will, not God. Well, there's the answer to his conundrum, the solution to his problem, that those secondary and tertiary causes keep God's hands clean. Nevertheless, this goes on and on with the review. I think you get the point that John Mark Comer's understanding of God, his sovereignty, his running of the universe appears to be open theism. I think he denies open theism. But when you're quoting the chief proponent of open theism, a.k.a. Greg Boyd, I got to tell you, based on this sermon and the review thereof, this is not a God that our Sunday school classes should be learning about. And I think that all this will do, and while it might be determined to set us free so that we're these autonomous beings and we're influenced by God, but we're going to be like our wills being crushed, I think it will lead to nothing but fear and devastation. Let's not practice the way. This is Wretched Radio.
So you already believe in biblical creation, right? You're convinced that Genesis is true. But let me ask you this. Can you confidently explain why? You know what you believe, but can you tell others why you believe it? When someone challenges you, do you have the answers that silence their skepticism? Well, now you can, because coming up March 21st and 22nd, Dr. Jason Lyle, renowned astrophysicist and biblical apologist, is coming here to Fortis Institute to help you strengthen your foundation. He's going to walk through 10 powerful lectures that will provide the evidence to show exactly how science confirms what Genesis says about creation. Dr. Lyle is going to give practical tools, not just theology, but logical, irrefutable arguments to confidently defend biblical creation. Genesis is true, science confirms it, and now you'll be able to defend it. Reserve your spot if you live in or near Alpharetta, Georgia at fortisinstitute.org/creation, because believing's great, right? But being equipped to explain why you believe what you believe is even better.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's Word now more than ever at fortisinstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting Scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is reading verses in context. Words can have multiple meanings, but the intended meaning of a word is understood from its context in the surrounding words, verses, paragraphs, and chapters, all understood in the context of the Bible as a whole. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hello and welcome to Wretched Radio. I'm Todd, your host, where we talk about issues of importance to you.
Are you good?
I'm fine. What's the problem?
I
sound warm and sensitive. That was what I was aiming for. So apparently I hit the mark, because we're going to talk about women. And I wanted you to know that I'm in touch with my sensitive feminine side.
That's what it sounds like.
I have no idea, to be perfectly honest. Let's talk about the ladies, shall we? And we'll endeavor to do it recognizing we won't do it as well as Libby Glossin does in her podcast, which is Rockin' the Casbah. Her podcast, it is not chick chat. It is intelligent talk for women. Please avail yourself of the Libby Glossin podcast. You can do that at fortisplus.org. The better way. Not a, the better way. And I'm telling you, she is just Mrs. Friel. I think it was last Saturday. I've got to text Libby. I just listened to her podcast. This is amazing. And she's like three podcasts in. She's like just so good. And it's so helpful. An article from The Guardian. Young women are turning to sterilization because of Donald Trump. Wow, what a climate we're living in. What a culture that we are living in, where we are so terrified to have children because of a president, because of a politician. It's a sign of the times. Tubal sterilization visits increased 70% after May 2022 among those aged 19 to 26. Furthermore, let's bring the fellas into this. Vasectomy procedures increased 95%. What in the world? This is, I don't think that most of us who are over the age of, 30, 40, 40, somewhere in that neighborhood, this seems so foreign to us. Wait a second. Politicians are scaring you and keeping you from having children? But I've heard this so often that I think we just, whether we get it or not, I think we need to understand it is a reality for a lot of people, and the church needs to be more vocal about babies. We need to talk about the blessing of children. We need to talk about what a gift they are. And despite whatever fears, whether they're warranted or not, it is good to have kids. The Bible talks about the joy of children. And then the joy of having grandchildren as you sit at a table with your kids and your grandkids. And in the background, you can see the temple in Jerusalem. Oh, man, that's the stuff of life. And these days, young people, terrified. An article from the Washington Post that I thought was also instructive and insightful in understanding women today. It's also somewhat ironic, as she actually writes as a pro-abortion woman. She's writing a letter to the baby inside of her womb. I know, you just go ahead and sort that all you want, but I'm just telling you, that's the letter here. And I thought, just in going through this letter, it's like, okay, all right, I'm trying to understand the mind of unregenerate women. How are they thinking? How are they viewing the political shiftings that are going on right now? Let's see if we can learn, shall we? Quote, "Your tiny, not quite foot is prodding me in the side as I type this. I'm so excited to meet you. I'm trying to think what to tell you about the world." I think she's being very premature, because whatever that thing is inside of there, it could come out. It could just be a soccer ball. It could, because you just never know these things with that, whatever is growing inside of there. It's not going to necessarily turn out to be a human. Oh yeah, it is. And we intuitively know that. So this woman who is pro-choice, actually writing, intuitively knowing, that's my baby inside of the womb. The feeling that I have that things used to be better is palpable. And so I feel apologetic to you, child. Quote, "I hate that I am old enough to remember a time when things were better." Does that not sound like us when we remember a time that was better? Let's keep reading. "Both big things and little things. I remember when you could query a search engine and get back the result you were seeking. You used to be able to buy a movie and own the movie and watch the movie. Every time you watched the movie, it would be the same. And nobody would have gone through it unexpectedly and added the word McClunky at a crucial juncture." I don't know what that means. Do you know what that means,
Jim? I don't.
"I remember when Roe v. Wade was the law of the land. You know, the good old days for progressives." Are you feeling it? Are you feeling just as concerned as you are, rightly so in my estimation,
that the world is being flipped upside down, courtesy of worldview, secular humanism specifically, the progressives have the exact same feelings. They think that we're the enemy. We need to know that. Quote, "The notion that things used to be better in the past had always felt false to me. One of our oldest and most beloved myths. Now, I know what they have done to our search engines and to our Supreme Court. It is grim to know for sure that things can be better because they were better and now they aren't." That's instructive. When you're talking to somebody, in this instance, a woman, who is unregenerated, who is pro-life, she is terrified of what's happening because her worldview is being challenged. How do you engage with somebody who is so convinced that wickedness is good, that the right to kill the baby she's writing a letter to in her womb, as though that's the good old days? How do you reason with this person? And the answer is you don't. And the Bible says so. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. We need to take Paul's words into the Corinthians chapters 2 and 3 to heart. The world's mind is darkened and their thinking is kafritz. And they are really feeling the noetic effect of the fall. And by the way, you would be too. Even if your morals tended to be better before God saved you, your brain was broken too, and God is repairing it even as we speak. Not so the unregenerate. These are foolish things that we speak of. And when we present morality alone, when we just talk about morality, it is as if we are coming at them with a cannon. Now, I'm not suggesting we stop. I'm just saying, I think that's the reality. And I think that this letter reveals this. You can't engage people at this level, on these terms. I learned this. I got this from Daryl Harrison, who I believe is pastoring in Arizona now. And I say good on him for that. I know they miss him at Grace to You, but now he's pastoring at a local church in Arizona. And we sat down in Douglasville, which, by the way, if you go find the G3 podcast, they're located in Douglasville, Georgia. It is I on this week's podcast. And you can find that. Jimmy, do you know where to just go to? Just look for G3 podcast stuff.
Yeah, that's it.
That's all you got to do. I sat down with Josh Bice for a bit and we just chatted about ministry. And last time I did a sit down like that in Douglasville, it was with Daryl. And we were talking about the racism issue. And it was like, duh, and kind of a slap in the face. When he said, you can't argue with these people about CRT. Don't debate critical race theory. Just don't do it. I'm like, wait, what? Of course you got to have it. Well, what? And he was onto it before I got it. And that is, they're not going to change their worldview because their worldview accommodates their preferences and their lifestyle. And they like whatever it is, whatever the fruit that is born from CRT, they like to consume it. And you can't win that argument. And his encouragement was transcend it. Lift it up. Make it higher. In other words, bring out the God-ordained weapon to cut through a really bad worldview. And that is the Bible. That is the sword of God's word. And I know that there might be some people who would say, oh, that just seems so Sunday school. It's just such a Sunday school answer. Okay, let me ask you. How's it been going, persuading progressives to change their worldview? How you been doing with your reason and logic? You got some converts? You got somebody who now want to make America great again? Who once wanted to kill babies and mutilate children? You can't. And we need to return to being those who proclaim the truth. And might I add, not mere morality. And if we're going to proclaim morality, which we should, we better have a foundation from which to shout. In other words, we need to have a source of authority, a says who. Otherwise, we're just another voice in the marketplace vying for our worldview and our version of morality. And it won't persuade many or any at all. Instead, we need to be those who say the very special words, four words, thus saith the Lord. Because otherwise, we're just, I just think we're jousting for windmills in the wind or something like that. Use the word. Nothing else works. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.